There was no disagreement at a hearing in Washington today that oil and gas drilling technology has advanced greatly in the decades since the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline was built. But whether it's advanced enough to drill in environmentally sensitive areas is still up for debate, APRN's Libby Casey reports.
When it comes to technology and the oil industry, the question is whether advancements should mean more drilling or just mean higher standards so there are fewer spills and better maintenance of the types of wells and pipes already in use. Senator Lisa Murkowski, the top Republican on the Energy Committee, which took Tuesday's testimony, touted technological advancements like directional or sideways drilling. She says that could be used to drill from Alaska's state lands to reach underneath the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge.
Of course, this takes us back to what we discuss so often here and have for decades, and that's whether or not we can successfully move to open up portions of ANWR. Something that I feel very, very strongly about, and yet we don't get credit for the fact that the technology has advanced as it has over these decades.
Murkowski was backed up by Alaska's director of the Division of Oil and Gas, Kevin Banks. He testified that an ideal place to begin directional drilling for any crude that may lie below ANWR is the Sourdough Prospect, an area that has not yet been developed on nearby state lands.
We believe that there is some potential that the prospect itself could reach into the ANWR territory. So it's a logical spot to begin looking for producing oil. And extended reach drilling could certainly make quite an impact on being able to drill from there.
Banks says some of the biggest advancements in technology mean that wildcat wells or new drilling in an untapped area is less of a guessing game.
Current state-of-the-art seismic interpretation on the North Slope means that wildcat exploration has become much more successful. Better success rates for exploration wells means that fewer intrusions from these operations on the environment.
Another witness, Thomas Davis, a professor at the Colorado School of Mines, says wildcat wells used to only be successful 1 out of 8 times, but thanks to new 3D seismic technologies, that's improved to 1 out of 4. But the Energy Committee's guests were not unified in green lighting the oil industry. Engineer and Arctic Program Director for the Wilderness Society, Lois Epstein, says the benefits of directional drilling are being overblown. She says it gives lawmakers and the public the false impression that oil drilling can be done from a distance with no impact. She says there will still be a footprint somewhere above ground. And Epstein warned that directional drilling only goes so far. The longest sideways drilling paths reach up to 8 miles.
And it might also be perceived to mislead the public by implying that oil drilling in an area will be forever limited to the distance accessible via directional drilling. When oil production proceeds using directional drilling, there will be calls to expand the drilling to reach portions of the reservoirs not accessible via that approach. The bottom line with directional drilling is that it allows a region to become industrialized and adversely impacted to essentially the same extent as conventional drilling, including surface exploratory activities which can have long-term consequences.
Epstein says it is important for Alaska's economy and citizens that the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline, or TAPS, keeps operating with a steady flow of oil. But she says it's actually advancements in technology that will help it keep going. She says upgrades like heaters or liners can help, and she says there are reserves of oil yet to be tapped on state lands.
I want to emphasize that, despite in-state and D.C.-based rhetoric, drilling on federal lands or waters is not necessary to ensure that TAPS remains viable for decades to come. And there's been quite a bit of testimony along those lines in the state legislature recently. From an Alaskan perspective, drilling on state lands generally provides far more revenue for the state than from federal lands, including Outer Continental Shelf drilling beyond 6 miles, where the state receives no revenue from leases.
The debates over whether to drill in the Arctic Refuge and off Alaska's coasts and how to keep oil flowing through the pipeline are expected to heat up in the coming weeks as the summer driving season approaches and Americans face soaring prices at the gas pump. Senator Murkowski says that's an incentive to develop more resources, but opponents say new drilling sites will take years to develop, so they won't provide short-term relief. And they say oil companies should use the leases, lands, and the technology they already have access to. In Washington, I'm Libby Casey.